Whoever you are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. My name is Marian Yeagler, and I'm the worship associate today. I'm joining and welcoming you today by the Reverend Joan Van Beesler, the District Executive of the Ohio Meadville District of the Unitarian Universalist Association. That's a long title, isn't it?
At times our own light goes out and is rekindled by a spark from another person. Each of us has cause to think with deep gratitude of those who have lighted the flame within us.
Each week we gather for worship, we set aside time to widen the caring ministry of this congregation. We take time to memorialize those who have died, to celebrate with those who are joyous, and to call into this community of care all who need our love and support. And now I invite you to name the people in your lives who are come on your hearts and minds this morning, the ones you want to memorialize, the ones you want to celebrate, and the ones you want to call into this community of care. For all the names which have been spoken aloud and those we hold in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, we give grateful thanks. Please join me now in the spirit of prayer. This is a prayer from Victoria Weinstein of the UUA. In the spirit of the prophet Amos, the Unitarian minister A. Powell Davies prayed, "Help us to remember, O God, that from those to whom much has been given, much is expected." Let us join our hearts and spirits in prayerful reflection. To whom much is given, even more is asked. We've been given the bounty of this beautiful day, and we've been given the gift of the worship tradition that draws us together in this house of hope and memory, of learning, of healing, of growing, and of serving. We lift up grateful hearts. We've been given the inspiration of our brothers and sisters in faith who walk with us the path of the free religious life, who companion us in our joys and our sorrows, and who are ours by some design of fate or necessity to care for and to love, to forgive and to cherish for this time of our lives. We lift up grateful hearts. We've been given minds with which to wonder and to reason, and we've been given voices to speak and to sing, and to shout against injustice. And we have hands to work and to build the better world we would have for ourselves and our children. We're asked to use them all in the service of love and justice. We lift up grateful hearts. We've been given the divine spark as children of God all, whose health and wholeness require us to tend to the life of the soul. In our rushing and our doing, may we not forget whose we are and what we truly are, not human beings having a spiritual experience, but spiritual beings having a human experience. We lift up grateful hearts. We ponder this mystery together, glad for one another, blessed by the abundance of our lives, and called to give abundantly of ourselves to it. Amen.
Now, after listening to the announcements this morning and checking out the various posters you had on your wall and looking at the order of service and looking at some of the printed material, I sort of got the idea that the theme of your stewardship campaign this year is going to be let your love grow. So, am I right? Okay, good. Well, then I want to compliment you on choosing a very lovely and a very radical and prophetic theme. Radical and prophetic. Let me take a look at those two words, love and grow, and you'll see what I mean. Love has many connotations. Adoration, affection, acceptance, tolerance, self-giving, sacrifice, dedication, commitment, passion, life-changing relationship, and grow, produce, cultivate, nurture, extend, mature, increase, multiply, strengthen, intensify, expand, escalate, and evolve. And so that phrase, let your love grow, is a very revolutionary, a very transformative statement. And we need all of the radical, committed, life-changing, transformative love we can get in this day and age of increasing anxiety and stress and change. Now, I don't think y'all are going to argue with me too much when I say that we live in a time of anxiety. I think I'm pretty right on that one. My favorite theologian, Dr. Seuss, said it beautifully when he wrote, "It's a troublesome world, and the people who are in it are troubled by troubles almost every minute." And I think he's right. So what is troubling you? What is causing you just a little bit of anxiety today? Let's chat a bit. Go ahead and tell me. Speak up, somebody. Tell me something that's causing you a bit of anxiety today.
Taxes,
okay? Amen. Job, okay, yeah.
Children in college.
Children in college, oh yes, children and children, anything with children.
Living on less,
yes. Okay, other things causing you anxiety. Health problems of loved ones, yeah.
Increasing bills
and decreasing income. Okay.
Change,
yes. Well, there's a lot of anxiety out there. There's a lot of anxiety in here. There's just a lot of anxiety, period. End of sentence. And it's perfectly normal. Change and its resulting anxiety are simply facts of life in our present society. But anxiety by itself will not harm us or endanger our communities or endanger our congregations. It affects our lives either in the positive or in the negative. The issue is not whether we experience anxiety or not. We will and we do, and that's life. Rather, the big question here is, what do we do with that anxiety? Do we let it stop us from moving forward with our vision and mission for ourselves, for this congregation? Or can we harness our anxiety for those positive results? And how can we learn to speak of growing our love in a time of high anxiety? Now, to begin to answer that question, we have to look at the three basic ways that we humans have to deal with anxiety. First, we tend to deny the reality of it all. But this can lead to a kind of false complacency. You know, everything is just fine. It will all work out for the best. No need to do anything differently or learn new ways to handle a situation. And certainly no need for change. No, no, no. Because change only upsets things and causes grief and uncertainty. And we don't want any of that, do we? So we ignore the anxiety. We think it'll go away. Or we hang around and wait for the right something or the right someone to come along and save us in the nick of time. But it all doesn't just go away. Denial itself can be dangerous. There is bad stuff out there, and we do need to be careful. There are things that don't work in our society, and we do need to change them. And there really are no knights in shining armor on the big white horse coming to save the day. Not unless, of course, we decide to get up, go get the horse from the barn, brush up the armor, sharpen the lance, and climb on the darn horse ourselves. Now, opposite of this trap of denial is the danger that we let our anxiety run away with us. We indulge in fear and stress. We react to every little situation or event as if it were the end of the world and let our blood pressure and imaginations run wild. Oh, the wolf is knocking at the door and the second Great Depression is right behind him. And we need to cut everything. Cut outreach, cut membership work, cut social justice work, cut the heat, cut the light, cut the water, cut the life out of the congregation. Cut, cut, cut. But runaway anxiety can cause us to freeze. Intense and prolonged anxiety has this strangling effect on us. It depletes our energy. It disturbs our thinking. It divides our loyalties. We become too afraid to move, too afraid of anything new or different, too afraid to realize that we need continual inflows of new energy and ideas to live full lives. And organizations like this congregation need inflows of new people to keep healthy. We can easily become too afraid to open our doors to the larger world. And that's no way to live either. You know, it's like the story of the three bears. The porridge is too hot with denial, or the porridge is too cold and frozen with fear. But what about the porridge that's just right? Because there is a third option. There is hope. We can have porridge that is just right. We can balance our anxiety. Not too much, not too little, but just enough. And it may sound a little odd to say this, but we want to have just enough anxiety. Robert Rosen, in his new book called Just Enough Anxiety, fortuitous name, right? He argues that the need to reframe and revise and reimagine the way we think about anxiety in our society is needed. First, it's time to embrace change as a fact of life. We have to let go of our desire for stability and realize that we really can't control everything. In times of change, there is no such thing as stability and control. And second, we can use healthy anxiety, just enough, as a force for growth. Healthy anxiety prompts us to make healthy change. At a healthy level, anxiety can make us more alert, more self-conscious, and highly motivated to take action. We need just enough anxiety to keep us exploring, keep us open to new thinking, searching for different ways of dealing with difficult situations. Just enough anxiety keeps us on that path for the responsible search for truth and meaning that we talk about in our seven principles. And third, just enough anxiety drives us forward without causing us to retreat or resist or give up. It can release our creative and productive energy and calls us to do better. Rosen says that just enough anxiety produces the optimal state of arousal that enables us to become the people we truly are and truly want to be. So in short, healthy anxiety, just enough, enables us to take risk. That risk that keeps us moving forward and working toward a better way of being. Risk that enables us to make a real and positive difference in our lives now and in the future. Risk that enables us to reach out in order to grow our love. The Rabbi Edwin Friedman relates a little story about risk in his book, A Failure of Nerve. On the third day of creation, just before all forms of life were about to multiply, the Holy One said to the creatures, "I see that what some of you treasure most is survival, while others of you yearn for adventure. So I will give you each a choice. If what you want most is stability, then I will give you the power to regenerate any part you lose. But you must stay rooted where you grow. If, on the other hand, you prefer mobility, you may also have your wish, but you will be more at risk. For then I will not give you the ability to regain your previous form. Those that chose stability, we call trees. Those that chose mobility and opportunity and risk became animals. And so here we are today, a lovely collection of risk-taking, changing, evolving, and often very anxious animals. So how do we keep just enough anxiety? How do we keep that healthy balance of anxiety in our lives, just enough to keep us motivated? And this is where we humans have created a wonderful invention that we call community. It is our faith communities that nurture our souls and help us control that wild, runaway, paralyzing anxiety. Our congregations and the people in them help us find our center, focus our emotions, distinguish what we can and cannot control, and look for those positive elements that we often overlook in the midst of our own anxiety. It is also our community that lovingly challenges us when we need to be challenged and keeps us from falling off the other end of the spectrum into denial and false complacency. Our congregation helps us look honestly at the truth, painful though it may be at times, and find the resources so we can develop realistic plans to deal with our very real problems. Our reading this morning said, "We need one another when we are in despair and need to be recalled to our best selves again. We need one another when we would accomplish some great purpose and cannot do it alone." And this community, this congregation, performs this great purpose, this health-giving work each and every single day. It is the business of helping us grow in love for each other and the world, and we want to celebrate that. So if you were to name one thing that you wanted to celebrate about this congregation, something that you love about this group of folk that you gather with every week, something you want to see grow and expand, what would that be? Let's just name it again. What would that be?
Support.
Our wonderful choir. Our wonderful
choir. Okay.
Creativity.
Involvement.
Involvement, a sense of peace.
Openness.
Openness. Okay.
Willingness.
Religious education, yeah.
Love.
Justice.
Determination.
Anything?
Generosity.
All right.
Humor.
I like that. One last one.
Involvement
and?
Friendships.
Amen. We need our faith communities to nurture our souls when we need nurture. Challenge us to change when we need challenge. They help us balance our anxiety and dare us to risk for the sake of our vision and our mission. All our lives we are in need, and others are in need of us. Now, in this changing world, in these overly anxious times, people need faith communities. And I'm convinced that our society, the people here in Ohio, here in Kent, need our Unitarian Universalist faith communities. Without a doubt, the current economic crisis affects us all. And we're finding that people are turning once again to congregations as the front line for meeting some determined and realistic human needs. People are looking for a spiritual home, a place that nurtures and challenges them. And these folk come to visit us each and every Sunday. We need to keep our doors open, our hearts open to them. In times of social uncertainty, I believe that we're called to re-examine and refocus our core mission and seek out new and creative ways to give our very best gifts to help heal our hurting world. Our society is asking us today to find new ways to let our love grow. Our anxious world needs Unitarian Universalism now more than ever before. It needs our spirited way of lifting up and honoring the web of existence, our historically liberal spirit of inquiry and openness to change and risk, the way we support one another in spiritual growth, and our radical prophetic love that can change the world. We need the congregation. Our larger society needs this congregation, and this congregation needs us. The congregation needs our time and talent, of course. The curriculum in the religious education classrooms does not teach itself, nor do the coffee beans march into the kitchen, grind themselves up, and jump into boiling water each Sunday. Things like that only happen in Dr. Seuss stories. And this congregation, with all of the programs and projects and services and education and ministries and outreach, needs that concrete symbol of time and energy that we call money. Because gone are the days when you could bring in a bushel of corn and a couple of goats to the parish house to meet your commitment of support for the year. That's not how society works anymore. So let's just be really upfront about it. The congregation needs your stewardship, your pledge, and your commitment to grow radical world healing love. In our society, we translate our time and energy at work into money, and money then comes to this congregation and is turned into religious education and music and social change and ministry, and it works together. It all works together to enable us to let our love grow in a time of high anxiety. And each one of us is vital to that process. Now, I know that sometimes we're tempted to say, oh, I can't give much, my contribution really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, but that is not true. It truly does matter. Every dollar, dime, and penny matters because it joins together with every other dollar, dime, and penny. And when it's all combined, it becomes that strong source of support that keeps curriculum in the classrooms, keeps the heat in the halls, coffee in the kitchen, and our doors open wide to welcome and nurture the souls of people seeking hope and community and love in our bruised and hurting world. That is how we grow our love, and that is our mission and hope for our future. So I'm going to ask you all to take a risk. Take a risk for the future during this pledge campaign. To use that wonderful capacity you have for change and healthy anxiety. I'm going to ask you to not simply maintain, but actually increase in some way your stewardship promise to this congregation this year. And we all know ways that we can increase our stewardship of time or talent or treasure to strengthen this community that makes possible all of the things that we just said we value and love about this place. And there's a lot of anxiety floating around now. But even now, many of us are still able to shift a few things in our lives that would enable us to continue or even increase our commitment to this faith community. And so I challenge each of you, each of us this morning, to use that healthy form of anxiety, to grow our stewardship, resolve to increase our commitment in love and celebration of this community. And so to kind of sum it all up, our world is growing more anxious by the minute. Unitarian Universalism and this congregation are needed now more than ever before. People are looking for us. And we are called to welcome them, welcome each other, nurture our souls, keep ourselves challenged to change, and truly let our passionate, committed, radical love grow, evolve, and reach out to help heal our world. All our lives, we are in need. Others are in need of us. And this is our covenant. This is our mission and a deep hope for our future together. May our anxiety be balanced and healthy, our joys many, and may the love so needed in the world today grow strong and vital for years to come. Blessed be, and amen. And now we'll take up our collection. Will the ushers please come forward? Our special collection this morning is for Friends of the OMD. This is a special fund created to help fund new initiatives and programs for congregations in the district. And currently, Friends of the OMD is helping fund growth efforts in our congregations, our small church planning for growth project that's taken place in six of our congregations in Northeast Ohio. And these congregations are receiving training, consultation, and growth coaching over the next 3 years as a result of the Friends of the OMD. And Friends is also supporting new youth cluster organizing work in the district and development of youth leadership track at ULTI, which is our UU Leadership Team Institute. So the offering will now be given and received in grateful appreciation for our shared hopes and dreams. And if you are a visitor today, we have a gift for you. So please take a candle from the basket as a token of letting our love grow for you. Our closing words are by Dorothy Day, who said, "People say, what is the sense of our small effort? They cannot see that we must lay one brick at a time, take one step at a time. A pebble cast into a pond ripples and spreads in all directions. And each one of our thoughts, our words, our deeds, our donations is like that. No one has the right to sit down and feel hopeless. There is too much work to do." Let us leave today with confidence and hope for the future, courage to take risk and accept change, and that radical love that we so need to heal our world. Amen. Blessed be, and shalom.